everybody, and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. My name is Mike Bloom. We are back, bitches, talking about the newest season of RuPaul's Drag Race. But of course, I am not alone. I am never alone on this podcast. I am joined by my squad, RuPaul's Drag Race super fans. But in a true wedding theme, I'm halfway there. I'm joined by something old and something new in the realm of RuPaul's Drag Race podcasters. First, the something old that is not a knock on his age whatsoever, but just due to the fact that he is returning back to cover RuPaul's Drag Race, Brent Wolgamott. How you doing?
Come on, season 9. Let's get this over with. Hey, everybody. How you doing? I can't believe you called me old on the first podcast of the season. You bitch.
He read you already. We just started.
You're no Charlie Hyde, if that's any sort of consolation. And another voice you heard is our newest voice to the RuPaul's Drag Race recap. Unfortunately, Ali Lasher, due to other commitments, you hear all of her other fantastic work elsewhere on Reality TV or Wrap-Ups, could not commit to doing a RuPaul's Drag Race in the spring, but we have the opportunity to bring forward a fantastic podcaster and RuPaul's Drag Race superfan in her own right. You might have heard her from her work on the Hunted podcast, as well as her few appearances in the So You Think You Can podcast competition. She's been all over the place in the Wrap universe. Liana Boris, welcome.
Hey girl, I am so excited to be here. I will do my best to live up to Allie, but you know what? Girl, bye. I'm here. Let's do this.
She's here. If you're trying to live up to Allie, the bar is low. The bar is low. Love you, Allie.
This podcast probably has done the most reading per minute in this podcast than any other one in the RHAP atmosphere, and that is why I love it. As I mentioned at the top, a new season of RuPaul's Drag Race is upon us. This will be the first season of new queens that we'll be covering. Of course, we did the All Stars 2 podcast that featured all returning queens. It's unmanned territory for me personally. This will be the first time I'm watching a RuPaul's Drag Race new season live, so I'm excited for this experience. Even more excited to be talking about these queens with you two. But first, as Liana, as our sort of new blood on this podcast, I sort of ask everyone who's new on the podcast to give us a nice herstory of your background with RuPaul's Drag Race. Divulge, give us the spiel about him.
Okay, so I started watching RuPaul's Drag Race way back in season one. Like, I actually watched season one live. My best friend at the time was you have to check the show out. The fuzzy, yes, with that, oh my gosh, that absolutely just horrible filter. And it was, I even think the stage was in, like, RuPaul's garage or something insane like that. I feel like that was one of the things that came out when they redid the season. Anyway, so yes, I have been with it since season one. We would go to the clubs and watch the episode and see a show, and it was such a big deal, such a big part of my life. And to see RuPaul's Drag Race like make such a crazy progression that it has over the time I've been watching the show is just insane. I love it, and I am just, oh my god, just insanely excited to talk about it.
Do you have any favorite seasons or queens from the past?
So one of my favorite queens of all time, and you can come for me, is Raven. I love her to death. She was one of the first queens that I just was obsessed with. And her mug has shaped so much of the makeup. I mean, we see queens in this season who are so inspired by her. And I would have to say she's my favorite. Otherwise, I mean, I have a special place in my heart for Bianca Del Rio and Latrice Royale. Who doesn't?
Yes.
So yes, those are my bitches.
So, in addition to a batch of new queens, we have also seen one big change coming to RuPaul's Drag Race, which is the official move to a new channel and yet another new day and time. I know that the show used to air on Mondays. For the All-Star season, it aired on Thursdays. Now the show is on Friday, and it has officially moved, after sort of simulcasting on Logo and VH1 during All-Stars 2, to VH1 totally. Brent, I want to get your immediate reactions to this news. Does this mean we start to see an expiration date for Logo, considering one of its main cash cows has sort of wandered off of the pasture?
Yeah, this is one of the things that happened in season 9 that I'm somewhat ambivalent about. I have really strong opinions about a lot of the queens on season 9 and just the general vibe of it. But as far as the move, excuse me, Liana, what have you done to my voice? Anyway, I have a lot of opinions about season 9, but this is one where I'm, like I said, I'm at best ambivalent about it, because I don't know if it's just an element of Viacom, which, you know, owns everything, if they're shifting strategy and they want to move, you know, a hot property like RuPaul's Drag Race over to VH1 for a specific reason because of the demo. Maybe, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race obviously is becoming more and more popular, reaching more and more straight audiences, more and more tweens who are then going out and buying more stuff. So I don't know if it's just a strategic move on their part or if there is something more practical behind the move.
RuPaul has been paying the light bill over at Logo for a very long time now, and I have to imagine that Logo is not long for this world, and this move is definitely strategic because I think Logo is going to be gone soon, and they wanted to put, obviously wanted to keep RuPaul's Drag Race, and why not put it on VH1?
How dare you, Leon, undervalue Fire Island. It will surely be the show that Logo needs to bring everyone back.
Oh, how could I forget?
It's a little bit of a corporate murky situation, as you said, Brent, because, I mean, Viacom owns both Logo and VH1, and they've sort of done this stuff more recently in the past. I mean, when they brought America's Next Top Model over to VH1, I think they reshow reruns on MTV. So, you know, I feel like they're almost very provocative with their usage of reality TV shows, but I feel like, as Liana said, we might be seeing an end of days for Logo, considering that they are taking this main property that Logo is known for and moving it over to VH1. That being said, I'm excited to see it in HD, because I know that was a big deal that even when it was on Logo, it was always in standard definition, which people were not happy about. The Friday night time slot is going to be interesting. I feel like people think that's initially a death slot, but from what I've heard, a lot of clubs like to have RuPaul's Drag Race viewing nights, and I feel like that's good business to start off your weekend with that, so that way everyone doesn't leave. You can just sort of have your club deals after that. So I'm optimistic about it moving forward, and hopefully that means that RuPaul's Drag Race continues to live on past season 10 and onwards. But let's not focus on the future so much as the present. We have 13 queens to talk about today. We are going to read them as much as we can. We are going alphabetical here. Just a warning for those of you out there, we've all seen various things that these queens are involved in, but we have not seen everything. So if there are things that we might have missed out about in terms of previous things that they've done or, you know, social media scandals or gotten involved in, we probably don't know the most of that. We all have watched the Meet the Queens video, so we'll probably be primarily referring to that. And of course, Liana and Brent can sort of step in if they've acquired any additional information. But let's just start right at the top here, guys. Let's start with Miss Aja, a New York queen, 22 years old, from Brooklyn. The RuPaul's Drag Race Logo website has like a little blurb about each queen that I think would be a nice introduction. So I'll read it for each queen, starting with Aja. This blurb says, "The number one queen people are talking about in Brooklyn right now. Aja's colorful street style and fierce makeup looks have Instagram in a frenzy, and her Drag Race competitors worried. She's also a very high-energy performer and is likely to be the one telling you to move back because she will kick you in the face if you get too close." Brent, what do you think the chances are that Aja kicks her competition in the face?
The chances are high. However, the chances are also high that I'm going to be bored by this queen. She seems like she's trying a little hard, Mike, as far as the street style. Like, I'm going to let you know what I think of you. And, you know, as Alex Kidwell said on a previous podcast I did this week, is there no such thing as tact anymore? You know, I don't know. her looks to me seem to be defined by her neon colors and her hair and her silhouette. The makeup to me is a little bit basic. I don't want to call her a basic bitch, but that's how it reads to me. So I don't know what there is here, because I remember watching her Meet the Queens video, and she was like, you know, "I got my name Aja. It's from some Bollywood video or a Bollywood movie, but I don't even know the name of the movie. And there was this song, but I don't know the name of the song." She seemed a little vapid at times.
Liana, give me your thoughts on Aja.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I feel the same way. I just don't know if we're going to get any sort of versatility from her, because it is all about this pastel, you know, latex. Like, this is a very current style of drag. She's got the wig, the like Marcel like hair on, and I feel like that's a very common trend these days. The makeup is, her eyebrows, you can see her natural eyebrow, and when it goes in, like, girl, like, make that darker. So I feel like she's not very polished. I actually don't mind the freckles. I think that that's a cute little addition. But I just really think she's going to get read by the judges because she's not going to be able to show versatility.
Yeah, I noticed the eyebrow thing too, actually. But I didn't notice the freckles, so that's a good call. That's actually kind of cute. I like that. But yeah, the blending just seems a bit off on this one, and it seems very like when I talk to drag queens like in my local area, and they say, oh, you know, effing Drag Race, you know, that has nothing to do with drag, you know, all these kids, they throw on a dress and they think they're a drag queen. All of a sudden B. Arthur came out.
Harvey Fierstein is all the drag queens in your area.
All right. Well, this is what the queen they're talking about, because, you know, the makeup skills, a few neon colors and pastels, and throw on a wig and call it a day. Now, look, I'm sure there's a lot more to her than that, and she could be a top three queen for all I know. But that's what I'm getting from my initial take on her.
Well, she described herself as a Judy Jetson hooker. I like that. She can make it a few rounds for that line.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get to see her boy Elroy maybe sometime soon. I'm a little confused about her aesthetic, because she says it's somewhere between like slutty anime girl and also ratchet Brooklyn hood, which are just like two different ends of the spectrum to me. And there is a little tracking thing with these Meet the Queens videos as well, where I feel like a handful of them, and I'm going to be talking about this with a few of them, actually flat out say they're not that competitive, which, you know, there are some queens that come from the pageant scene and they have that sense of competition in them, but I'm not sure personally what to make of someone who says in their interview for our reality TV show, Drag Race, you know, lore aside, I don't know if I'm not really that much of a competitive person. You know, you have to wonder when you really put your feet to the fire when it comes to these things and you're really under the most pressure you possibly are in your drag life to put out these looks and survive from week to week. Some people might not rise to the occasion, and something tells me if Aja is really not that competitive, she might stand a worse chance of really rising to the top there.
Yeah, I'd concur. I couldn't remember who was the queen who said, I'm not really that competitive. And I was like, what? You're on RuPaul's Drag Race. You're fighting for $100,000, like RuPaul always says. Honey, there's $100,000 on the line. You know, you got to go for that coin. So I don't know what she's doing here if she's not that competitive.
Well, there is nothing more frustrating to me than when it's lip sync for your life and there's a queen out there that you can tell just either doesn't want to be there or has no fire. That bothers me so incredibly much. And I'm really hoping that we don't see that from Queen this season.
Well, let's move on to somebody who would definitely put her life on the stage when it comes to a lip sync, I'm assuming. Alexis Michelle, 33 years old, born and raised in NYC. Her bio reads, New York City's premier Broadway queen, Alexis Michelle is known for her singing, acting, and hourglass figure. Alexis's love for the stage began early in life when she saw the original production of Into the Woods. She sees drag as a natural extension of her desire to perform and warns her competitors to watch their backs when it comes to the acting challenges. Liana, we've got a tried and true Broadway queen here. Do you think this theatricality that she's lived in is going to take her far in the competition?
Absolutely. I love Alexis Michelle. She's one of my favorite queens this season. She, unlike Aja, I think really does have the versatility. She can put together the looks. She's theatrical. She can sing. She actually competed in the 2014 So You Think You Can Drag competition in New York, and she won. So clearly she can appeal to an audience. She can perform. And I mean, I worry for any queen who has to compete against her in a lip sync for your life.
Yeah, I actually do remember. So I wouldn't say I know Alex Michaels, who is, you know, Alexis Michelle out of drag, but I know friends who do know him because he's part of the New York theater scene. And he did have that video from that competition that sort of went viral a few years ago where he did both stages of the witch's transformation in Into the Woods, where he went from the ugly into the beautiful. And then I think he might have done the witch's rap or he sang something. So it's clear that, you know, she's got some game to her in the performative stance. Brent, do you see any possible weaknesses in Alexis Michelle going into this competition?
Yes, I do. I actually wasn't as taken with her as I hoped I would have been, because looking at her and looking at her pictures, it does feel like she's serving Miami housewife realness, if you know what I mean. It looks a little bit Bianca Del Rio 2.0 and maybe not as much talent. Her presentation seemed a bit more forced. You know, Bianca Del Rio can just let you have it. You know, she doesn't even have to think about it. She's going through her Rolodex of hate. But I felt like Alexis Michelle was a bit prepackaged, and I do get the sense that her drag could be a little bit boring, although I will say that the high shoulder iridescent thing that she had on in the Meet the Queens video was quite lovely. That said, this is the type of queen that can get kicked off first. This is the type of queen that can bore RuPaul.
What?
Because the drag itself is a little bit been there, done that. It's just, like I said, it's a bit Miami housewife to me. And I don't know that that's going to excite RuPaul, and I could be totally wrong about that. And by the way, as a boy, Alex Michaels, come see me.
Oh my God. Gorgeous.
So Alex, disregard anything that Brent said about your drag persona and just listen to like that last 5 seconds.
And then, you know, again, you know, these are first impressions. We don't know. I wanted to say this really quickly. I was going to say this at the top and I forgot about it. I love the fact that we are doing a podcast about the queens before we get a chance to meet them. First impressions, videos, a few things on Instagram, just because there's no editing involved. You know, we watched one episode of RuPaul's Drag Race 2 seasons ago, and Rob Cesternino, who doesn't know a thing about drag, was able to call the winner from the first freaking episode. Okay, so I love the fact that we're here. We don't know shit. We're going off gut, and you know, we could be totally wrong and fall on our face, and that's what we're here for. We're here for your entertainment, people.
Yes, we're going to fall on our lovely decorated faces. That's what we plan to do here on the podcast. Let's move on to queen number 3, a queen that has broken so many records in just appearing on RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm talking about Charlie Hides from Boston, London. She's our first transatlantic queen residing in the UK, and we can talk about her notoriety there later. She's also the oldest queen to ever be on RuPaul's Drag Race at the grand age of 52. Brent, I'm sure you got plenty to say about Charlie Hides, so let me have it.
Well, Charlie Hides, I couldn't believe they cast someone on the show who was older than Tempest. Like, let's be real. Tempest was the previous oldest queen at 48, and that was 48 going on 71. All right, let's be real. Charlie, on the other hand, is, what is he, 52? 52?
52, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, he's 52 going on 32. I mean, he is a cute boy when he's out of drag. I think he actually reads older as a queen, which is interesting because usually that doesn't happen. I'm very intrigued about Charlie. The thing off the top that I have to talk about, which was being talked about on Instagram, is that Charlie got clocked about a year ago for doing what was called blackface in a cabaret act in London. And eventually there was a change petition that was started and it got that show shut down. Now, a few of Charlie's competitors, I think it was Nina Bonita Brown who came out and, you know, or maybe it was Nina Bonita who came out and said, you know, I have the utmost respect for Charlie and, you know, he's a great performer. You know, but maybe there's a few lines you shouldn't cross. So I'm interested to see if that comes out during the show. I have to believe that, you know, RuPaul knew about this when she cast Charlie. And, you know, like if there's any controversy in a contestant's past, I feel like that the editors and RuPaul are going to get that out of you. So I have to feel like at some point that's going to come out. And aside from that, I do think that there is a lot here. I was never bored watching anything from Charlie. She kept my attention. I didn't feel like she was making it up like I'm doing right now. I can't wait to see. I'm just kidding. I can't wait to see what Charlie has in store for us.
Charlie's bio on Logo reads, an established performer who splits her time between the USA and the UK, Charlie describes her comedy as, quote, rude, crude, and socially unacceptable. She routinely impersonates celebrities such as Cher, Madonna, and Lady Gaga, and recently made an appearance in the Absolutely Fabulous movie. Liana, do you want to make a bold prediction right here, right now? If Charlie Hides makes it to Snatch Game, is she going to win or is she going to win?
Okay, I'm sorry. No. I still can't get over what Brent is saying. I had the completely exact opposite take. I was so bored watching her video. I wanted to take a nap. I just don't think that she has this charismatic pop. And I watched some of her impersonations. I mean, her Cher is just, I mean, obviously compared to Chad Michaels, like nobody can do Cher other than Chad Michaels. And I didn't feel it. I don't know. I mean, maybe I have the completely wrong take, but I just didn't get the sense that she's a star. I mean, you've been in the game for how long and you haven't made it, girl? Okay.
Well, I mean, there's a chance though that I guess, I mean, it seems like she's made it. I mean, when I watched the Davina Del Campo breakdown, and she was fawning over Charlie Hyde, and she's British, so maybe it's just one of those things that, you know, much like when the British shows make their way only over to the U.S. through Masterpiece PBS, maybe we're waiting for that Masterpiece PBS special for Charlie Hyde, because she seems pretty big there. I mean, as we said, she appeared in a feature film. I do agree with you somewhat, Leon, in that she came up a little stiff to me. I don't know if that's, you know, if there's cortisone in the face or if it's because she had to hold her position because of this really fascinating sort of Phantom of the Opera meets like a Crayola crayon mask that she has over her head that she had to like hold it to not be able to make it jostle a little bit. But I do think, you know, she's a really established, entrenched performer. I have not watched any of the impressions, so I have no idea how good she will be if she actually makes it to Snatch Game. But the thing that I might have a warning for her is with this whole like offensive humor that might be considered unacceptable, because I do feel like you've said many a time on this podcast, Brent, like you can fly fine in any challenge as long as you make RuPaul laugh. But if RuPaul finds something offensive and doesn't laugh at it, you're going to be in trouble very, very quickly. So I think considering maybe Charlie's sense of humor and how that might differ from the American counterpart, there might be a chance where in an acting challenge or even in a comedy challenge, she might not measure up as much as we initially think.
I think that there is a chance that it could come off the wrong way, considering that, you know, the Brits tend to have a rougher sense of humor than Americans, mm-hmm. and especially now with the show moving from Logo, where they maybe had a bit more freedom, over to VH1, I feel like that someone like Charlie could get into hot water. Also, by the way, looking at her Instagram, bitch loves her name. Let's be real about this. Charlie is plastered all over that thing, and when you go on RuPaul's Drag Race, you're going to have to come up with something more than painting your name on a dress and going out on the runway. So good luck with that, girl.
Well, I think as far as her humor goes, as long as she doesn't go the Fifi O'Hara, the help route that we saw in season 4.
Oh boy.
Yeah, as long as that doesn't happen, I think she'll be fine. But also to her credit, she says that 99% of the things that she wears are things that she's made. And that to me, I just love that in a queen that can construct gowns for their body, outfits for their body. I really love her look in the Meet the Queens video. The glove that's attached to the dress. I don't know why I love it so much, but I would want to wear this.
You know, and I agree with you about the fact that she's a crafty queen, and she even talks about that in her video. However, she may be a crafty queen when you got a week to make a dress. How are you going to be mm-hmm. a crafty queen when you got to do it in 10 freaking hours? I don't know about that. I mean, she could do it, but I don't know.
And we'll also see if her age shows as well. I feel like there are some younger queens that are definitely more up for the strenuous schedule of Drag Race. For all we know, Charlie Hyde could sort of say, you know, F this, I don't really want to do this, I'm 50-something years old, and sort of give up halfway through.
Let me ask this really quickly. You know, I heard Liana talk about the fact that she was a little bored by her, and, you know, she has said a few offensive things in the past. Is there first boot potential here? Like, is this the Magnolia where she just she wanted to get on the show to get on the show and, you know, get her name out there, and it's girl bye? I mean, like, do you think there's a possibility she could be kicked off first?
I could think it could be a merging of like Magnolia Crawford and her season 6 first boot counterpart, Kelly Mantle, who was arguably the most famous queen going in that season, who sort of just walked in and was very clearly over her head and got eliminated very summarily. I feel like there definitely could be some similarities there in that she's very notable, but maybe she's so set in her ways and her career that that's sort of the square peg that might not fit into the round hole that is Drag Race. I don't know. Liana, what do you think?
I don't think that she's got the Kelly Mantle. God, that dress that she made, the like bacon flower petal thing, that was horrible.
I was like, what do you mean made? She just took a fabric and wrapped it around her waist.
Yeah, that was a disaster. I don't think that it's going to be that bad, although I see what you guys are saying about she's stuck in her ways and possibly she's not going to be able to adapt to the judges' critiques. And maybe she's not out first, but maybe second or third.
Well, let's move on, and I'm sorry I misspoke before. It appears we do have one returning queen this season. It looks like Ginger Minj is back. Oh, wait, no, that's just Eureka O'Hara. Logo says, asked to describe her own drag persona, Southern Belle Eureka sums it up as, quote, over the top, loud, and big. Despite competing in over 100 pageants, Eureka doesn't want to be characterized solely as a pageant girl, and she's come ready to show off her many considerable talents, but the pageant system has certainly given her one trait, a fierce competitive nature. She is 25, from Johnson, Tennessee. We got a Southern queen in the house. Liana, how's Eureka looking for you right now?
Well, she ain't no glamour toad. But I do think that I love her competitive nature. That's something that she will fight. She wants to be there, and she will bring her A game, even if her A game is maybe more like a C game. I mean, the dress is like the dress in the Meet the Queens video is simple. I'm also not loving the hairpiece, and I just had a lukewarm feeling about her in general.
All right, Brent, what do you feel about Eureka?
Yeah, Eureka of O'Hara, Eureka of Garlic. Yeah, I have to say that I wasn't taken by this queen, and I wanted to be. I really wanted to be because I did see the Ginger Minj comparison. I thought, okay, it's a big girl. You know, a big girl's going to win season 9. It's got to happen sometime. But again, this one also reads to me like Alexis Michelle in that this could be boring to RuPaul. This could be the kind of drag that doesn't excite RuPaul. And I worry that there's a possibility she could be the first boot or the second boot based on just being something that RuPaul has seen before. Having said that, looking at her Instagram, it's all about two things, hair and curves. And that goes a long way in drag because she does it well. I do like her makeup skills. I think that she seems to have a good sense of what looks good on her face. And besides that, she seems like the kind of queen who could stab you in the back. And I like that too, because pageant girls know how to get the shit done, and she's going to come prepared.
And I do think, you know, making the Ginger comparison again, I think the two major weaknesses in Ginger's game were design and dance. And right at the top, Eureka is making it known that she is a dancing queen. I mean, she bursts into splits at any point in time. So she's able to capitalize on at least that part of Ginger's game where she sort of fell flat. Design, not so sure. I'm not too keen on the big red look here. It's not going to make me want to reach for a stick of chewing gum anytime soon, but I see some potential in her. You know, if she's a comedy queen that's mobile, she's able to stay afloat in at least, you know, 75% of these challenges. If she's met early on with the design challenge, she might falter there. But I don't know. I think if she's polished enough from the pageant circuit, she might stand a pretty good chance. Will she be the first, you know, plus-size girl to take home the crown? I don't know if this might be her season necessarily, but she might go on to surprise us. Who knows?
I think it's possible. The one thing I wanted to say about her dresses in particular is that it does seem like it's the same silhouette. Like, can she step outside of herself to try something new? Can she risk embarrassing herself on the show? That's what, you know, because Drag Race is all about pushing the boundaries of what you think you can do and what you think you can put out on the runway and taking a risk and be willing to fall on your face. I swear, RuPaul is much more willing to be forgivable if you fall on your face rather than if you bore her. And I worry that she's going to bore her.
Her last name is O'Hara. Like, she's Eureka O'Hara. Is she related to Fifi? Is she Fifi's, like, drag daughter or drag sister?
I was going to ask, is it O'Hara or is it O'Hara? Like, is it Liana or is it Liana?
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, it's interesting that at least according to the logo website, you know, I believe in other press, it says Eureka O'Hara, but on the logo website, it's just Eureka. So, you know, queens change their names all the time between Alaska Thunderfuck having to obviously censor her name. I don't know if Eureka purposely dropped out the last name for branding purposes, or maybe if she happens to be affiliated with the one queen that put everyone on blast after her time on All Stars 2, she kind of wants to distance that relationship. I'm not sure. Maybe someone can dig into that for us. Next queen, queen number 5, Pheromone. Logo says, this queen comes with her own tagline, Pheromone, one look and your mind is blown. Inspired by old school Vegas showgirls, it's no surprise Pheromone is all about rhinestones, feathers, and showing a lot of skin. Named after her 70s idol, Farrah Fawcett, her gorgeous face has made this queen a hit on social media, where she has a significant following. Who from Vegas, in terms of reality stars, is going to make more of an impact in the show that they're on, Brent? Pheromone or Rachel Riley?
I have to think it's Rachel Riley, because I was bored by this queen. I mean, look, the name, probably the best name in the history of Drag Race, let's be honest. I mean, I heard it, and I was like, I'm here for Pheromone, and I saw Liana also wrote that in our little group that we were in the Rob Has a Podcast patron group. However, I was so bored looking at her looks, and she just seemed to me like to be a basic Vegas queen. And what I mean by that is, you know, Vegas queens in particular, because, you know, Vegas is so touristy, Vegas queens tend to be a lot more cis rather than trans. And what I mean by that is they seem to be a lot more down the straight and narrow. And her drag to me seems very fishy. It seems very girly, but it also seems very safe and very boring. Everything's about pink and pastels. So is there more to her? Look, as a boy, she was cute as all hell. As a girl, she's gorgeous. But is there any there? I don't know. And by the way, it's sort of interesting because, like, I feel like I'm being very negative on the queens here at the beginning, but I'm going to be very positive on the queens as we go through towards the end. So it's not like I hate everybody in this cast.
No, you just have a bias towards the beginning of the alphabet. We see
right?
That.
I like the bottom. I like the bottoms. That's all.
Well, Liana, do you think this fishy queen is going to catch herself a trophy anytime soon?
I don't know. I mean, she is, I mean, exactly. She is 100% fish. She's like Derek Barry meets Courtney Act, but like kind of a knockoff version. I think that she's also lacking the versatility in the same way that Aja is. And I think that she'll run her course. She'll have her gorgeous outfits that will blow the judges away, but then that's all she'll really be able to bring. I mean, I just don't see anything else coming from her.
She seems a little bit like Violet Chachki without the herstory. You know, like Violet, for all of her, youngness and ingenue-like qualities, she had a sense of the history of drag. And mm-hmm. she could, you know, name, you know, this decade and this performer and pull off a great impersonation. She had respect for it. I don't know that there's a lot coming from Farrah. On the other hand, again, these are first impressions, and I could fall in love with her in the first episode. So she is serving tuna on a platter, though. And that it's very rare that a queen who's this fishy gets kicked off first. So I think she might stick around for a while.
She's from Vegas, Brent. She's used to serving things on a platter, if Amber from Big Brother 8 is any indication.
All right.
I think the Violet Chachki comparison is warranted, but I feel like, again, this is just me going off of this one look, but I feel like she does not have Violet's sense of fashion. I mean, Violet, for all your talk about like her just being a look queen or a fashion queen, she does that 2-in-1 look during that first mini challenge in season 7 and blows everyone out of the water. I don't know if we're going to see that necessarily out of Pheromone. And I feel like she's got one thing, and if that one thing is not great to begin with, she doesn't stand that much of a chance. I don't know if she's first boot, but I feel like she's not going to make it past, I'm going to make a bold claim and say, like, episode 5. Are you guys over or under on that claim?
Okay, I'll go over. I think that she, you know, she might be able to, against some of these other queens, just be this very gorgeous, you know, pageant queen. I think that she doesn't have the high fashion that Violet Chachki has. Definitely much more showgirl. She describes her drag as all about feathers, sparkles, rhinestones. I can see her maybe as kind of a, I don't know, like a Roxy Andrews-ish, like very gorgeous, body, yaddy, yaddy. Hopefully she can pronounce sequins gown. But I don't know. I think I could see her going to like episode 6 or 7.
All right, let's move on to James Mansfield. The logo says, a campy queen from America's Dairyland. James is inspired by Pee-wee Herman, Elvira, and of course her namesake, Jane Mansfield. James likes to think of herself as a, quote, Swiss Army knife of drag. She's a singer, seamstress, actor, dancer, even a puppeteer. Can this quirky kook pull enough strings to become America's next drag superstar? Liana, answer that last question for me.
No.
All right. Thank you.
Done.
Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Lock it down. No, I first of all, I can't get over her hairline. That's all I'm staring at. I think that she is the comedy queen, and I just don't think that that's gonna be enough. I really don't. She builds puppets. Oh my gosh. And I don't know if y'all saw this, but her outfit from the RuPaul Drag Race season 9 premiere, she made this like fluffy animal face thing that she's wearing. I'll tweet this out later, but it is just, it's insane, and I don't even know how I feel about it.
Well, Brent, we were just talking before with some of these queens about how we feel like even with Pheromone, they might be a little limited in their skill set. With James touting such a wide repertoire of skills, do you think she has at least an advantage in that regard in the competition?
No, she doesn't. Have you guys ever seen Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar? You guys, mm-hmm. You guys know this movie? There's three characters in the show. There's Vida and Noxie, and then Chi-Chi Rodriguez, who's the younger queen, all right? And Vida and Noxie will not call Chi-Chi Rodriguez a drag queen or a drag princess because they say she looks like a little Latin boy in a dress. They say, oh, come here, little Latin boy in a dress. Okay, that's how they refer to her. That's what I get when I'm looking at James Mansfield. This is like the little Latin boy in a dress. I don't see any sort of transformation here at all. I agree with Liana about the hairline, what is going on there. This, to me, smacks of Layla McQueen. This is the queen that's going to be in over her head, mm-hmm. who doesn't know what she's doing there. She's going to go into the lip sync during the first episode. And by the way, thank God, the lip sync for your life is back, bitches. No more lip sync for the win. And she's going to win the first lip sync, says here, and she's going to be eliminated in episode 2. I mean, that's my prediction based on what I'm seeing on Instagram, because I've seen this story before. I feel like we have seen this story every season. There's always one queen, or the Serena Cha-Cha. It's always the same queen. The queen who, like, how the hell did they get on the show? They're going to survive as the lovable underdog against some veteran in episode 1 and then get eliminated in episode 2. So, I don't see a lot here. And by the way, what is up with all of the stuffed animals and the childlike naivete? I don't feel like that goes well with drag. You can be a fishy queen like Pheromone and be, you know, barely 18 and barely legal. I'm down for that. However, when you're like 13, I feel like it doesn't read very well.
Yeah, be a fish, not a minnow on RuPaul's Drag Race.
You.
I mean, I'll be honest here. I hope we only get a couple of episodes with James Mansfield, because it's going to take me a while to get used to that voice. I did not expect that voice to come out of that woman. And, you know, it's happened before. I mean, Dayla, I was a little annoyed with her voice at first, but then I eventually got around on it. But
by the
I'm
way,
not...
Mike,
go ahead.
Just so you know, really quickly, she's putting on that voice. That is not her voice. When she's a boy, like, that voice is not there. So I don't know what she's doing, but that doesn't sound great.
Yeah, which again makes it even more questionable because
I know,
like,
right? What a choice.
Because I mean, I've questioned like Alaska's voice before about like why she has to go from talking like this in confessionals to talking like this as a drag queen. Like that's funny, at least in a way. She's going for that comedy queen way, but James Mansfield's high nasal tone is just something that does not work for me personally. I feel like this might be a show that she's not good for, and there are drag queens that just don't work for the aesthetic and the run-of-the-mill stuff that happens on RuPaul's Drag Race. I think that's totally fine, but I don't know if James necessarily matches up to it. I think she has the work ethic to work in it, but whether or not that work actually pays off in the end is yet to be determined, but I'm going to err on the negative side as well when it comes to James.
There's just
Agreed.
Something a little off about her in every single way. Just like the makeup, there's something off. The outfit, there's something off. Her voice is just, well, maybe that's a lot off. But I just don't get a good feeling from her. And I actually feel bad for her, kind of. She also mentioned that she's known for her YouTube video. I went and watched some of her videos. She does a really interesting, detailed history of drag, and there are a lot of good videos there, and I want her to do well. I just don't think she's going to.
Well, we'll see if this Drag Race super duper fan will have that translate into a W. Let's move on to someone else who is going for the win here. Kimora Black. Logo reads, Kimora Black is the definition of bombshell. She is obsessed with strippers and cites Black China as quote unquote my girl. Kimora likes to show off her body, particularly her famously enhanced butt. She's a gambling lady and is used to winning streaks in her hometown of Las Vegas. But will her brazen personality win over RuPaul and the judges? Brent, give us your thoughts on Kimora Black.
Look, this bitch is a whore. Let's just call it like we see it. I'm telling you what. Like all I see is ass and boobs. That's all there is here, I swear. She and another queen that we're going to get to, they're going to be the villains of this season. That's my call. I think that she's going to be like Coco Montrese. Like, she's the drag professional who gets paid to shake her ass every night. And when she gets to Drag Race, she's going to be like, you know, how are all these queens beating me? And she's not going to see past her own self. I think that's what's going to happen. I will give it up to her, though. Transformation Tuesdays on Instagram, her as a boy, oh my God. She's like Sean T from the Insanity workout videos. I mean, absolutely freaking gorgeous. So yay for you.
Yes, so hopefully at least Kimora could then stick around for episodes, if any, to just see her out of drag in those confessionals. Sean T, by the way, big Survivor fan, found that out last week. Liana, give me your thoughts on Kimora.
I feel like she's not smart enough to be the villain. Like, she just reads as a complete dud in her videos, and like, she I guess maybe that's the thing, she won't understand what's going on. And she's I think she'll in the act any acting challenge or any type of performance that's not just walking the runway, I really worry for her. I mean, gorgeous. I actually really liked her dress in the Meet the Queens video. I loved the outer cage element to it. I thought that was gorgeous, but then that was kind of where it stopped for me once she started speaking. I was kind of over it. She also describes herself as a life-size Barbie, and I wish you guys could see me, but I'm rolling my eyes.
Well, there's a my size Barbie, but no life size Barbie. But yeah, I always hate when that comparison happens, because I'd say Pheromone is much more of a life size Barbie than Kimora Black. Kimora Black is like Barbie's tough as nails sister who went out and get tattoos and, you know, runs off on a motorcycle at night and comes back at like 3 a.m. I could possibly see maybe some sort of like growth underdog narrative from Kimora Black potentially, because she's really, for lack of a better term, a blank or a black slate, if you will, in that like she basically has her looks and that's pretty much it. I don't know, as you guys said, if she really has any performative capabilities that would allow her to do well. I believe that there's really not that much of her online, which might not be a good thing considering that queens are just putting out videos of them performing all the time to really show off their skills. So it's indeterminate as to whether Kimora has those skills, but I don't know, something tells me she like falters pretty badly in those first few episodes, then gets a fire under her, and then ends up doing pretty well. I'm thinking like Trinity K. Bonet, maybe not to the level of Pearl, but that's the thing that I'm seeing for Kimora moving forward.
All right. I think that there's a good possibility that she could be the villain. On the other hand, I could see that she could bore everybody, like Liana said, and be out quickly. So there's always that.
Let's talk about someone who, at least in her first aesthetic, is anything but boring. Our cosplayer, Nina Bonina Brown. Logo says, Nina's drag style is pure fantasy, completely unique and difficult to pin down. One day she'll transform herself into a zombie, the next an alien. But Nina also loves to be sexy and feature body oddy oddy. No couch is safe around her when it's time for her to pad. With such a strong aesthetic and sense of self, Nina's sure to ruffle some feathers or rustle some feathers in the competition. Liana, give me your initial reactions when you saw Nina Bonina Brown.
First of all, it's Nina Bonina Banana Fofana Osama on season 9 Brown. So let's get that straight. I was just taken by, I don't know, there's something, I want to keep watching her. Like, I don't want to take my eyes off of her. I looked through her Instagram posts and there's some contouring work that might need to happen. Like, I don't think the girl knows how to contour, but her looks are just, like, they're just astounding. And she isn't just a cosplay queen. Like, she does have this versatility, and she pads, girl pads. That thing about the couch, that is so true.
Well, I was going to say really, really quickly that I love her makeup when she's doing, she does a lot of animals. Like if you look at her Instagram, I mean, everything is about, you know, she's done monkeys, she's done sharks, she's done, you know, what is this thing that's going on here? I can't even tell what animal this is, but it's obviously some animal. There's this picture of she went to the RuPaul's Drag Race premiere with Harambee face on, which to me, like, look, I know you're an African-American queen, but doing Harambee the gorilla and doing that face, I don't, that's a little close to the line.
That's a little, so a little Charlie Hides, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she can get away with it. You know, it's like me when I say fag, you know, I can get away with it because I'm a gay guy. So I don't know. Maybe she can get away with it. But I don't know. I feel like that might be a little bit on up to the line for RuPaul. I do worry about her makeup skills as a girl, because doing the fantasy cosplay, it's astounding. It's really wonderful. But on the other hand, how much time did she have to put that together? As a girl, I find her, and by girl, I mean just, you know, a regular drag queen without the cosplay. I find her makeup skills to be a little bit on the weak side. I don't like the blending. It seems a little bit that the contouring around the eyes, I don't like. The color scheme seems off to me. The thing about that Liana said about the eyebrows about somebody else, I feel like holds true here. I can see her real eyebrows and I can see her fake eyebrows. So I wish that she was a little stronger aesthetically when she's out of cosplay. Aside from that, though, I loved her interview. She didn't bore me. She's going to make RuPaul laugh, and she's going to be there for a while.
I mean, I was first initially drawn to Nina Bonina Brown because I believe this is the first Drag Race competitor who is also part Zora from The Legend of Zelda, or at least that's what her look sort of gave me. But, I mean, she is so unique, and I'm assuming that sort of translate into creativity. I know you guys are talking about how, you know, the actual execution of the makeup might not necessarily create fantastic looks, especially when they're in a rush to get on the runway, but I don't know, I just see something very unique in her that I think Rue is really going to lock into and really, you know, take far. I mean, look at like Ivy Winters, for example, from season 5. She had a very unique aesthetic as well. She did all this circus stuff, and as a result, she created these amazing outfits, and she went pretty far despite the fact that she probably was not the most personable queen.
Right? You know who she reminds me of? She reminds me of Dax exclamation point with a personality. That that seems like what RuPaul was trying to do with Dax, was to get the kind of queen with the cosplay on and see that sort of unique take on drag, because there's so many different takes on drag. It's not just about, you know, being a fishy queen or a bougie queen. But there was nothing there with Dax. I mean, we were all bored. I know I was bored by Dax. So, you know, with Nina, I am not bored. I mean, you watching her video, she held your attention. And if she's holding my attention as someone who was just, you know, flipping through all of these queens, trying to find someone who caught my eye, you know why RuPaul cast her on the show.
Two funny stories about her. So that the monkey cosplay that she did, I immediately assumed there was going to be a lot of backlash. It actually hadn't gotten that much backlash. And actually, Raja changed her Facebook profile picture to be that mug, like a really bad angle of it, though. So I don't know if that was shade or what. But also, her old drag name was Beat a Bitch Ass, which I just love. If I'm ever in,
that could be Pheromone as the best name of any contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race. Ru would have kept her around by that name alone, just because she could have put her whatever voice that she, you know, her. I'm of the conspiracy theory that she kept Ivy Winters around for as long as she did because of the way she said her name. So I feel
Ivy
like there's a rule. Exactly. I feel like it's a rule of Drag Race where if Rue makes a meme of your name, you got a few weeks in you, at least.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's the reason why Jiggly stayed around, too.
Yeah, oh boy. May I call you Jiggly? Move on to our next contestant. Another contestant who is breaking boundaries. The first trans contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race. Now, we know there are queens who have come out as trans afterwards. Some queens are gender fluid on the show, but this is the first outright trans queen on Drag Race. Peppermint. Logo says, sweet and sassy, Peppermint is the name on everybody's lips in New York, where she can be found hosting and performing any given night of the week. Warm, funny, and personable, Peppermint is guaranteed to charm the judges. But will fame in the Big Apple translate to the global stage of America's next drag superstar? Brent, how you tasting Peppermint right now?
You know, at first I thought that this was a little bit of RuPaul saying, okay, I'm going to put a trans, you know, because people were asking, when is an openly trans girl going to be on the show? Okay, RuPaul said, okay, I'm going to do it. So I thought maybe that was just a little bit of a token placement for this queen. However, I watch many of her videos and I am taken with her. And the reason I'm taken with her is because she is so smart. And I don't know how well that translates on stage. I'm hoping it translates well because her presentation to me is just on point. She seems like somebody that you would like to get to know. She has a great personality. It just pops off the screen. And I think that on television, that's even going to be accentuated more. So I feel like there is a lot to come from Peppermint. I just hope that she's able to keep up with the challenges and make sure she puts out the looks on time that she's capable of. Because, you know, a lot of queens can put together a great look, but can you do it in the time allotted? And can you do it when you're under the gun? That's something that separates the girls from the women.
Liana, give me your thoughts on Peppermint.
I was also very taken with her. She's done a lot of shows. She's very seasoned, and I think that that comes across. There was one performance that she did where she comes out in this plastic ball snow globe thing and is like inside this ball, pops out of it. It's very just visually appealing. I wanted to watch her. She does this choreographed dance afterwards, and girl owns the stage. And I think that that is going to come across in the show and is going to be so powerful for her moving forward.
I'm gonna make another bold prediction here. I'm feeling Peppermint as fan favorite, no matter where she finishes. I don't know if that makes her Miss Congeniality necessarily, but I think she's going to be a fan favorite amongst the populace, just because she does seem very comfortable in her own skin, obviously with her transformation, and as well, you know, they say she's very warm, funny, and personable. You both have talked up her persona that she just seems like a good person, and I feel like that does translate well onto the television
screen. The thing is, yeah, she knows what she's representing. She knows why she's there. She talked openly about what it would be like to be the first trans winner of the show. She knows how important it is for trans people to be cast on the show openly in the first place. It's not like a situation with Kenya Michaels where, you know, she was transitioning and then she got on the show and then they, you know, depending on who you believe, either she stopped transitioning or they asked her to stop transitioning. Don't you know, Shade? So, I mean, like, the fact that we've come this far and it's not a stigma anymore, you can be a trans woman and still be a drag queen, I think is great. She understands that. She gets it. And she owns that title. So go, girl.
I feel like Peppermint is also, at least according to Davina in her video, known for some R&B original music that she's put out on YouTube as well. So next to Alexis Michelle, this might be another great singer that is on there. And you know that they're going to throw at least one singing challenge in there. And I feel like that's where Peppermint can really knock it out of the park. I mean, her outfit to me in the Meet the Queens isn't amazing, but it's not
a little boring.
It's a little milquetoast, a little, you know, run of the mill, at least compared to some of the other looks that these queens are putting out. But she again is another one of these blank slates to me, at least, though you both are sort of talking about how she puts out some really interesting stuff outside of this one picture. So I'm personally really excited for Peppermint and what she's going to bring as both the first trans contestant on Drag Race and also in her general aesthetic as well. Speaking of general aesthetic, let's talk about someone who seems to have a very, very interesting aesthetic coming into Drag Race. Sasha Velour, 29 years old, from Brooklyn, New York. Logo says, this quirky, bald, artistic queen describes herself as intellectual, a thinking queen. Named after a Russian feminist thinker, Sasha grew up in an unconventional household where dinner table conversation with her professor father was feminism, gender performance, utopias, and communism. Let's hope she doesn't overthink the competition. Liana, this might be the first instance of a true intellectual queen on Drag Race. Give me your thoughts on her.
I can't stop looking at the eyebrow thing she does. Mm. It's in a majority of her pictures where she's got her eyebrows and then she's got this little thing in the middle. Like, I plucked that out. I don't know why you would want to put that back in there. So I can't really get over that. Also, I'm worried about her as far as not wearing wigs. She has a lot of headpieces. And Angina, back in season one, got clocked to no end for not putting on a wig. And so I don't know why that stands out to me as like a big red flag. But I do think that she's coming in as one of the favorites. I've seen her talked about a lot. I don't know if I'm missing something, but I was so on her.
It's so funny listening to Liana, because Liana, like the entire time when she's talking about Sasha, she's like every sentence, like you can tell how like sort of nonplussed Liana is by Sasha, because every sentence was a question. It was like, I don't know if I really like her, but everyone sort of does. Like, I can
That's
hear
exactly
your opinion
how I
feel. A mile away. Well, like the thing that has to be noticed right away, first of all, her as a boy is the spitting image of the princess. I'm telling you guys, it is the princess. I can't get over it. It's just amazing to me how much they look alike. Look, I'm with the majority of the fans on this one. I loved Sasha Velour. Is that how you say her last name? I wanted to be clear on that. Okay, cool. I think that she has got a sense of character that is needed on Drag Race. She seems like she's a smarty queen. I know she said she's a brainy queen, but she seems a little smarty. And by that, I mean, she seems like she's the one who's going to be in the cutaways laughing at the other queens because they don't know their herstory, or they didn't know this, or they don't know how to blend their makeup, or they don't know how to do whatever. So I can't wait for the shade that she's going to throw, because that's a big part of it.
We'll be talking about Shay next.
I know, right? Oh, right. But I really liked her aesthetic, because every picture to me, except for the eyelashes, was a different silhouette. I was never bored looking at her. Everything was different. It wasn't like, you know, Peppermint or Alexis Michelle, where it was the same silhouette, the same basic look, the same makeup job. No, this queen, there were different looks. There were different headpieces. She was not afraid to go dark or go blonde or go without the headpiece. She's not afraid to wear different colors of lipstick. She's not afraid to change up her silhouette. She seems that she's willing to also laugh at herself. And I can't wait to laugh along with her, because I was really taken by Sasha. I really was.
So this is what I will say about Sasha. She is a queen that maybe I personally don't like, or I don't feel that strongly about, but I do think she's going far. Like, I want to clarify that I think she's going deep into the game, and I do think that she will be able to perform and be versatile. I'm just personally not crazy about her.
Right. Her drag scene to me is very modern, very high fashion, very Vogue. There's a lot of playing with geometric shapes involved. And that is something that, along with her general attitude, you know, it doesn't read well on a stage. A lot of times, you know, people like their drag queens, you know, sequins and, you know, high shoulders. I mean, that's what they want. And if you don't fit that aesthetic, you know, sometimes you can come off a little bit conceited. I know that on Instagram she's been, and on Reddit, she's been read a little bit for being a little bit conceited. A lot of people didn't like her "I'm a brainy queen" comment, as if the other queens aren't brainy. But I get where she's coming from, and I think they're being too hard on her.
Yeah, I think that she'll be able to bring a lot of fun thinking into the presentations. And I think that RuPaul does like to honor sometimes those that create really not only creative but also thought-provoking content. And I mean, Sasha Velour is known for doing a lot of performance art. I did not see too much of it, but I feel like in the realm of performance art, you're all about not only creating and putting out different messages, but also creating an aesthetic that has an interesting way of evoking those messages. So I feel like when it comes to things like the runway or design challenges or even some performance challenges, Sasha's really going to knock it out of the park there. And it seems like she's very well-spoken as well, and that might help. Again, you know, if Michelle puts you on blast on the runway of, you know, why did you choose this? I feel like she could defend herself a lot easier than maybe some of these other queens on there. So I am very, very high on her. I feel like, you know, there might be some things, like you said, that's not really conventional drag, which some people really sometimes gravitate towards. So she might be a little too far out there, but there are a couple of queens that are out there as well. So I don't think that necessarily puts her out of the realm of a win. She just seems like she has a lot going on. And I think that's very, very good in a Drag Race contestant.
Yeah, I'm curious if Michelle Visage is going to ask her or clock her about the eyebrow thing. And what we're talking about is she's got these, you know, a great set of eyebrows, fine. But it's like my dad when, you know, you get too old and like hair starts growing, you get a unibrow. You know what I'm talking about? Like, she has that there on purpose, and it's fuller or not as full depending on the picture. So obviously she's aware of it and she wants to keep it. It's kind of like her Marilyn Monroe mole, I guess. That's what she's going for. And I liked it at first. It does get a little tired in every picture, but on the other hand, maybe it's not something you can sort of get rid of and take away at will.
So we'll see how long it takes before Michelle Visage takes a giant pair of makeup tweezers to Sasha's forehead. And it seems like Sasha's a big Big Brother Canada fan as well, because I'm pretty sure that's a big pink twisto on her head. So hopefully that will translate into another reality TV success. Let's move on to Miss Shay Coulee. Logo
yes!
says, Shay Coulee describes herself as a high-class supermodel that you don't want to F with. She cites Naomi Campbell as her strongest inspiration and went to school for costume design, but don't get it twisted. In Shay's own words, I'm not just a look queen, I'm not just a performance queen, I'm both, the total package. Brent, it sounds like from your acclaim to you, she is the total package.
She really is. I mean, I'm calling it right now. Like, without knowing anything about the show or how it's gonna go, I think this is the winner. I really do. I loved everything about her. I loved her name. I like the way she presents herself. I like her fierce sense of being able to step outside of herself and do other kinds of drag rather than just pretty drag, which can be a little bit boring at times. I like her color scheme too. Her color scheme to me reads very earth tony, which is not something you see a lot in drag. Very brown, a lot of white, even some greens, some dark greens here and there. Her makeup skills to me are probably pretty average. On the other hand, I didn't think a lot of Bianca Del Rio's makeup skills either, and look how far she went. So I think that she's going to go a long way. I would be stunned if she wasn't in the top four. And I think you better watch out for this bitch, because when she says that she's channeling Naomi Campbell, she ain't lying.
Now, Liana, do you think channeling her mentor, Shay, is going to take a shoe to the rest of the competition, as Brent is alluding to?
I mean, finally, Brent is coming in with the appropriate take. I also love Shay Coulee. I have looked through her Instagram. She also has the versatility I think that you need. She makes some absolutely gorgeous items. And, you know, I don't know, again, with the whole time crunch of being, you know, making a dress and making a piece in 10 hours, if that's going to be possible for her. But I think she's going to be able to do it. She just has a phenomenal sense of color. Like Brent was talking about with her color schemes, she can match the appropriate colors together without it looking too matchy-matchy, but without colors clashing. And I love everything that she puts together.
Yeah, so I guess I can track to my own sort of inner monologue as I was looking at these queens. So I didn't see the pictures at first, but I read about Shay Coulee, and I'm like, oh my god, this bitch is so full of herself. This is gonna be our big villain, a la, you know, Fifi O'Hara, thinking her shit doesn't stink. She's gonna walk in there and essentially get served on a silver platter that she's really not all that in a bag of potato chips. But then I look at her Meet the Queens outfit and, oh my god, Swahili realness. It is incredible. And, you know, if you look at that cast picture, she's really doing something that none of the other queens, even someone like Nina Bonina Brown, who's in a friggin' different skin tone, is doing with their aesthetic. So I really hope that translates. It sounds like, from what you two are saying, she's known for creating very vivacious outfits. Not to she's not gonna come in with a second head or anything, but I guess vivacious in terms of, you know, the range that she can really create. And hopefully she lives up to this idea of being the total package. You know, she said she's known for being a strong performer and has an editorial image online. So it sounds like sort of like what James Manfield was trying to claim, that she really is good at a lot of different things. And again, as we've talked about, Drag Race is a show that really flexes a lot of different muscles. And it seems like Shay Coulee is ready for a full body workout in that regard.
And, you know, the other thing, too, you know, I don't know if you guys remember. I can't remember the name of the queen. And I know I'm going to get clocked on Twitter for it. But it's the season two queen who said, you know, bitch, I am from Chicago. Like, that is Shay Coulee. I feel like she could be the first Chicago queen to ever take home the crown. So go, girl. I'm rooting for her.
Yeah, the Windy City is behind Shea Coulee. But let's move back down south. Let's go to the Sunshine State with Florida and Trinity Taylor. Logo says, a plastic surgery fan and fierce performer who commands the stage, Trinity showcases her own brand of glamour drag. She has won countless crowns on the pageant circuit, even beating fellow Drag Race girl Alyssa Edwards in one. Trinity is a former Miss Pulse, the Orlando nightclub, which was the scene of the deadly mass shooting in June last year, and had performed at the nightclub the week before the attack. Liana, give me your thoughts on Trinity Taylor here.
I would also be interested to know about her if her or Detox has more silicone in their body. She does not have had that butt is, well, real, like with air quotes.
Yeah, as real as it's going to get.
Yeah. She is, I don't know. I like that she can sew. She mentioned that. I think that that is just, I think it's a skill that that I like to see in my drag queens. She's got the body yaddy yaddy. I just can't get over her eye makeup. Like the bottom lashes. I like my lashes even. I work hard when I put on mascara to not get them to clump. I don't know why you would want your lashes clumping. And that is really all that I can look at when I look at her.
All right, Brent, are you asphyxiated on her brows or on her lashes as Liana is? What are your thoughts about the general package of Trinity Taylor?
My thoughts about the general package is that if Kimora Black isn't the villain of this season, this bitch is. Because let me tell you, she, first of all, her name is Trinity the Tuck, okay? That's her Twitter name. So she's all about the tuck. That being said, though, I think that she's going to be the villain because she has been doing what Fifi O'Hara was doing during All Stars 2, which is doing these Facebook giveaways. Like, she knows she's going to be hated, so she's trying to get some goodwill with the fans now. And I feel like that's a tell. And I feel like she knows she was kind of a bit of a bitch on the season. I'm going to guess she goes midway. She could even go early because I was a bit bored in some respects by her. Here's the thing. When we were going through these queens, I was like, you know, writing down queens. And when I looked back, I realized I had forgotten her. That's how bad it was. Yeah. Like, I forgot to write her down. I was so bored by her. So I feel like there is first boot potential here, but I hope not, because I feel like she'd be a great villain.
Yeah, Trinity Taylor sort of wins the Lisa Kiefer Award of this cast of Drag Race because, yeah, she's, I mean, it's unfortunate, but I feel like outside of the Orlando connection, outside of the connection to the tragedy at Pulse, there's really nothing to her there. I mean, she's sort of just sort of her look in the Meet the Queens video is just a representation, the dictionary definition of the color aquamarine, but that's pretty much all she's got going on here. I mean, even her bio talks more about her affiliation with Orlando than it does who she actually is. So if she's really walking with not that much to her outside of the fact that she's a quote-unquote fierce performer, I'm not exactly sure what we're going to see out of her. She could surprise us, but yeah, I'm selling on Trinity Taylor more than I am buying.
I agree.
At least she's wearing blue and not purple, so that's a start. I think that she... I would love to see her as the villain. You know, she is a pageant queen, and so if she's going to follow in the footsteps of Fifi, this would be a perfect way for her to go. But if she is a villain, I don't see her sticking around past maybe 3 episodes.
All right, well, let's get to our final queen, our requisite Latina queen of the season, Valentina. Logo says, this Latina beauty hails from East Los Angeles, where she has only been doing drag for 10 months. But with a plethora of Latin influences, from telenovelas to the Miss Universe pageant, and an exceedingly polished look, this sassy young queen is a fiery addition to the race and plans to scorch her competition. Brent, how is Valentina going to do, bueno or mal?
I'm guessing mall, but the thing is that I was kind of bitter that you came to me first because I was like, okay, Valentina, which one is she again? Oh yeah, she's the young queen who's been doing drag for like, you know, a minute. She's very into pastels. That's definitely evident. And she's a girly girl. I will say, I will give her credit because she actually highlighted her shoulder. I noticed this in the video. If you look at her, it wasn't just a face, because we always talk about, you know, well, what's the face look like? Well, she went all out and she made sure that her shoulder, which she knew was going to show during the Meet the Queens video, also had highlights on it. So I'll give her credit for that. Like, she's a thinking queen. She knows where her body is and how it's going to present to the camera, which could serve her well on a show like Drag Race. That being said, I don't I mean, outside of Violet Chachki, and I don't even know how long Violet Chachki had been doing drag when she was cast on RuPaul's Drag Race. I'd love to know that. But I can't imagine a queen who's been doing drag for 10 months who's just going to come out and make top three. I don't see it. I think it's going to be a quick exit for her. And I wonder why she was cast on the show. Maybe Liana can tell me.
How long had Shangela been doing drag? Before she, that was only like 4 months, six months.
Before the first time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say she got kicked off first the first time.
Exactly. Well, at least, yeah. And Shangela had personality. I watched a video. It was a Facebook Live interview with Michelle Visage, and she was cute, ditzy, but just there wasn't much to her. I think her attention to detail is what got her cast on the show. Although, if you look at the bus line in her Meet the Queens video, I mean, not quite perfection, but she is cute.
Right.
She's pretty. I think her makeup is one of the, this is just in my opinion, I think that she's gorgeous. And I don't know if that's just because her face is gorgeous. I haven't seen her out of drag. The hair, the tiny body, she's cute. I don't think she has a whole lot of potential. I mean, she might, like she said, she's only been doing drag for 10 months. So we'll see where she is maybe later on down the road. But I think maybe she would have been better served on a later season of RuPaul.
I agree. I think that her makeup skills are probably in the top three of this particular cast as far as her ability to blend and look natural, if that's what you're going for. And I know not all these queens, you know, hello, Nina Bonina, are trying to look natural. But I was impressed by it. Aside from that, though, it's a television show. It's not a fashion show. So you have to have a personality. And because of that, I feel like she's in hot water.
Yeah, so a couple things about this, and I'm going to take a lot from Davina's breakdown of Valentina. I mean, she did kind of point out that the Latina queen is sort of an archetype that exists within RuPaul's Drag Race, but unfortunately, there are some queens that come from Latin-speaking countries that are not the best at handling their English-speaking skills, and as a result, you have, for example, Cynthia Lee Fontaine during the Empire Challenge, just completely in her great Cynthia Lee Fontaine way, bungle those words. Valentina at least seems very well-spoken, which I think might put her on a little bit of a leg up, especially in those aforementioned acting challenges. She did sort of mention what you talked about, Liana, where she did this interview with Michelle, and it seemed like Michelle, at least according to her, was kind of like feeding her lines, or at least like giving her cues to give sound bites back, which might not, I mean, it's no Miss Fame, how's your head ordeal, but we might be getting into that territory with Valentina. One other thing that I noticed about Valentina is that she says she loves to relish putting on the makeup and this transformation process. And as we talked about before, when you got like 5 minutes to get ready, you can't really relish in that transformation process. But all that being said, I believe you've said this on previous podcasts, Brent, Rue loves a grower, maybe not a shower, more of a grower. And I feel like Valentina could be this season's grower, someone who's only been doing drag for 10 months. I mean, that was really Adore Delano's big storyline the entire season, was she came in super sloppy and sort of, you know, crumbled under that, but then eventually built herself back up to a resolve and is able to make the finals as a result. I could see Valentina very much undergoing the same type of story. Will she be as magnetic of a personality as Adore Delano? I do not necessarily think so, no matter what her zodiac sign may be. But I can definitely see potential for her to be the one queen that Rue really invests his time in.
Right, she could be like the Chi-Chi Devane of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember when
Pearl.
Allie clocked me for picking Chi-Chi Devane third, and look what happened there. Bye, bitch. That's why you're not here anymore. Anyway, I'm just kidding. We love you, Allie. Love you.
Anyway, I like how you came up. I like how you're now spreading this rumor that Allie Lasher got kicked off the RuPaul's Drag Race podcast a season after she said she lambasted you for picking Chi-Chi Devane. Let's keep this rumor spreading.
Right?
I love it.
Oh my God, you guys, before the show, you know, Mike said, okay, everybody, you know, we're going to do winner's picks. And just by the way, I also have Allie's winner pick. And I was like, I thought we got rid of her.
Under the
anyway, bus. I know, right? Look, I wanted to say something really quickly. Mike reminded me about this. And if you are adverse to a minor, it's a very minor potential spoiler in the first episode, you might want to skip ahead by about a minute, okay? And I don't know if this is true, so it's just a potential spoiler. But I've seen it posted three different times on three different sites. And I have heard that they are possibly going to pull a Shangela here And is Cynthia Lee Fontaine going to be joining the cast? I think there is a possibility of that. I have seen it posted on three different sites that she is the Shangela of this season, that they're going to invite her back and she's going to be on the show. Now, it could be completely wrong. I've seen things posted about Drag Race that are wrong. But if you were, it's so funny because Liana brought up Shangela and then Mike brought up Cynthia Lee Fontaine. And I'm like, oh, my God, I totally forgot.
The stars are aligning. I've heard that as well. I mean, I love Cynthia Lee Fontaine. I know that she left Rob in stitches from the one episode that he saw. I mean, it would be really interesting to bring her back because, again, as you said, we haven't seen that happen in six seasons since Shangela. And she, you know, she did win Miss Congeniality despite the fact that she finished like 10th in that season. And of course, she had the real heartbreaking storyline where after her time on Drag Race, you know, she had to deal with some cancer scares, and that could be a really powerful storyline to really give her a second chance. With all that being said, as fun as she is, with a big health scare like that, I don't know if she has it in her to do Drag Race. So
definitely a possibility.
Part of me kind of fears for her being back on our screens, but if it's okay with her and her health holds up, I'm more than happy to see her back. Liana, what do you think?
I've heard that too. And I, for a while, especially when there were 13 queens announced, I thought it was a definite possibility. But I think it's more likely that she just might come back on the show as a guest in some capacity. I don't think that she's actually going to be competing.
Well, speaking of guests, I actually should mention now while we're sort of segueing out of our Queens talk. So it was officially announced for the big premiere of this new network-held RuPaul's Drag Race, the one and only Lady Gaga is coming out. I believe the premiere party showed like the first like few minutes of Gaga coming into the workroom, but we don't know really what else happens outside of that. Brent, what were your initial reactions upon finding out that Gaga was going to be the guest judge for the first episode?
First of all, I have not watched any of the previously released footage of Drag Race. Like, sometimes they'll release, like, the first 7 minutes or the, you know, when the queens walk in, or they'll release, you know, some part of the first episode. I haven't seen any of that. All I've seen is, like, the promos online and on TV. So the fact that Lady Gaga is here, I mean, these queens must be peeing themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, they just must be like, how lucky are they? Season 9, and they get Lady Gaga. Usually it's like Mike Ruiz during the first episode, okay? Girl, bye. So, you know, like, you know, season 4 got Mike Ruiz, and, you know, season 9's gonna get Lady Gaga. They are some lucky queens, and I can't wait to see what she brings. It just shows to me that, the trans world and the drag world, which are not interchangeable, and I have learned that even as a gay man, I didn't even know that up until like 2 years ago. I just sort of melded the two together, and they're two distinctly worlds, although they are somewhat related. I feel like that they're finally getting their due. You know, I feel like the move to VH1, a bigger platform, a more inclusive platform, and by inclusive I mean, you know, the logo is kind of like the gay channel, and I mean, you know, maybe I shouldn't say that, but that's how I always viewed logo and VH1. A lot more people watch that, so there's going to be a lot more eyeballs on the screens and a lot more potential for trans and drag people to be seen, and so that's a good thing. So go ahead.
And by inclusive, you also mean literally, too. I mean, I had to pay an extra, like, $20 a month on my cable package just to get logo. So I'm thrilled for the money that I'm saving purely by, you know, not having to watch logo and just subscribing to VH1 as well. Liana, what are your thoughts about this Gaga-helmed premiere?
I mean, I was astounded that Lady Gaga was going to be on the season. I'm very excited. A little part of me, though, is nervous about the show kind of leaving behind the weirdness and silliness that the show used to be. You know, so yes, we get Gaga, but bring back Charo also. Like, let's not forget about Charo. So I hope that the show can still maintain its kind of goofy, weird roots while still moving forward and progressing and becoming more mainstream, if it so chooses.
Well, looking at James Mansfield, I think that they're going to continue to keep their goofy roots.
Yes, the
more
goofy
puppets,
roots
please.
Will not be dyed out. The goofy roots will definitely be stuck there, nice and dark, while maybe the rest, the new blonde will stick.
You want me to tell you how forgettable Trinity Taylor is? I'm looking at a poll that was done about, you know, who's going to win Drag Race. James Mansfield got 2%. The only person who did worse was Trinity Taylor with 1%. Oh my God. You can't even beat James Mansfield. Oh my God. I hope Trinity brings the villainess. I if she was a true villainess, I mean, if I went on a reality show, I feel like I would be a villain because villains have more fun. Didn't Russell Hand say that? I want to say
that was the title of a Survivor episode, in fact. We will see. Actually, Brent, that's a fantastic segue into our last segment of this preview recap. As you mentioned before, with your shade thrown to Ally Lasher, we're going to finish things off by calling our shot here and making winner picks. Since we already kind of got Brent's, Liana, let's go to you. Who are you picking to win it all this time?
Okay. I think I also felt very strongly about Shea Coulee, but I'm gonna go with peppermint.
Ooh, okay.
Right.
Love me some peppermint. Give me some candy.
If you wanted to pick Shea Coulee, you can get in the boat with me and we can both drown. Like it can be like Titanic, but I pull you down with me.
Will the boat be decorated with stickers of Willem's face on it?
No, it's not.
All right, so I am going to go with someone that I'm going to stick with the same alphabet range as you guys did. I do love me some Alexis Michelle. She has the love for the same Broadway show that I do, but there's another New York queen that's just really speaking out to me as someone that can create, if she doesn't go all the way, she'll at least create really, really interesting work. So I'm going to go personally with Sasha Velour for my winner pick. And then last but not least, I have the pick from Ally Lasher. I am reading this quote verbatim that she sent to me about a couple of hours ago. She says, "I consulted my crew of boys, spelled B-O-I-I-S, and they say Shea Coulee, but I say it's time for the rise of the big girl. Give me Eureka O'Hara." So,
girl, bye.
That's a boat that's going to drown.
So, to review our winner picks, Liana has gone with Peppermint. Brent has gone with Shea Coulee. I have gone with Sasha Velour. Ally Lasher and Abstentia has picked Eureka. We'll see how it all pans out along with our other predictions in a week when RuPaul's Drag Race premieres on March 24th. Just to let you guys all know how these recaps are going to go, since the show airs on Friday, we are going to record our recaps over the weekend, most likely Sunday afternoon. So that gives you guys plenty of time to send us your questions, your thoughts, your shade on this episode. You can always reach out to us on social media. Let's go around the horn if you want to give out your Twitter handle and anything else you might be doing in the proximity of RHAP. Brent, let's start with you.
As always, I'm at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out, O-N-E, Lucky Gay. And you can find me on Twitter tweeting about Big Brother Canada, also tweeting about RuPaul's Drag Race. By the way, I do tweet spoilers as far as Big Brother Canada goes. So if you're not up to date on the feeds on what's happening, make sure you mute me. Also, with Drag Race, once the show is aired, I will be tweeting about what's happened. So make sure you also mute me then if you're someone who DVRs the show and watches it later.
Liana Boris, give us your deets.
I am at Liana Boris, and that's Liana is how you pronounce it. I also live tweeting, of course, all the reality shows all the time. Love them to death. And I am exclusively focused on Drag Race.
We're your singular dedication. You're not sleeping around with any other coverage. Brenton and I, on the other hand, are definitely man whores in that regard. Though that's
a moniker
I've taken that up. Both of us have taken that up all too well in our past. So I think it's totally fun on both of our parts. You can find me on Twitter at a Mike Bloom type. I've done a couple of other things on reality TV or hap ups in the past week. I talked about the series premiere of the Fox reality show Kicking and Screaming with Haley Strong and Kirsten McInnes. I actually was pretty impressed with how it went. Very surprised, very enjoyable podcast. I also previewed the newest cast of Dancing with the Stars with Kelly Bedard and my wife Angela Bloom, who will be taking over with that coverage when the season premieres next week. In addition to that, the Big Brother Canada 5 stuff that Brent has talked about, I know after we get off this podcast, you guys are about to do a live draft of the house guests. The premiere is this Wednesday, so definitely check that out. In addition to The Bachelor, The Challenge, Are You the One? We are running at full force here on Reality TV Wrap Up, so do not miss a moment. Make sure you're subscribed to the Reality TV Wrap Up feed on iTunes. And as well, we are rebooting our RuPaul's Drag Race only feed. You can just look up RuPaul's Drag Race, or you can look up any one of our names on iTunes, and it should be there. While you're there, rate and review us as well. Brent, you always give some great spiels where you strong-arm people into reviewing us, so I'm going to hand you the baton for this.
Yes, I mean, people, look, bitches, this is when we make our coin, all right? This is our season. Like, you know, from March until August is when I'm working hardest on rap. So if you don't like me, girl, bye. You're going to hear a lot of me over the next 7 months. So if you do like us, make sure you go to iTunes. Make sure you leave a review. You know, there's very few people in the world who are honestly good people. Rob Cesternino is one of them. He's a great man with a great family. And if you want to support him, you need to leave a freaking review. So get on there and leave a review. I just did one the other day, and you all should do one too. So make sure you go out and do that.
All right. So to finish things off, I thought I did this for the Dancing with the Stars podcast. I think this would be fun. If you all out there want to show your personal affinity for either the queen that you think will win or the queen you are supporting, just include the hashtag team, whatever name you'd like to put in there, Team Sasha, Team Nina, etc., to throw your support behind whichever queen as we go into this RuPaul's Drag Race premiere, which, after talking with you both, I am supremely excited to talk about these queens, and I'm even more excited to talk about it with the two of you. It's going to be a great time. So that's going to do it for this podcast. We will talk to you after episode one with Lady Gaga and all the queens back on our screen. Until then, take care and sashay away. Bye!